Welcome back to the second hour of the broadcast, the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller this week, and soon to bring a broadcast to this network. Getting the phone lines set up for that is going to be happening very, very shortly. Here we see it looks like a cover from a science fiction novel, but it is a poster distributed by the London Transportation Agency as part of a campaign to make bus riders feel more secure. And keep in mind the eyes in the sky as you look at this poster. It is advertising the fact that the surveillance cameras will be installed in every London bus within 3 years. Big Brother's watching, listeners. It's on the website AmericanExpose.com. It's under today's date, July 12, 2005. And what does Dennis the Menace call it? The summer of fraud. Hansa, are you there?
I am, Chris. Hello.
Hi. You sound very, very good today. And listen, we spoke last week, and here we have, oh my, a terrorist attack in London.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. You have to realize that as far as the West understands that the terrorism comes from the hatred of the Islamic religion, basically, for the Christianity. But, you know, that's all we have to know as far as the communists want us to know. It is very well understood that the terrorist organizations were long ago infiltrated or even set up from the get-go by the Russian espionage, the Russian KGB, and the Russian military intelligence, the GRU. And the sister services. There's a lot of evidence that, for example, the Italian terrorist organizations in Europe, the Red Brigades, were trained by the Czechoslovak STB, Communist Intelligence and Espionage Service. These people were responsible for terrorist attacks and also for the assassination of the Italian former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro in 1978. So this is very well known. Terrorist training camps were set up all over Eastern Europe, namely in Czechoslovakia. There was a terrorist training camp called Zastavka near the city of Brno. That was training terrorists, Libyan people, also Middle Eastern nationals. These people were trained all over the communist bloc. This was acknowledged, of course, by several defectors. And I came across also information about the 9/11 hijacker, Mohammed Atta, and I reported this to the FBI.
Now, Hansa, keep in mind we're on a new network. We have commercial pauses at a certain time, and when we come back, I want to give a little background of what you're all about and where you come from. And we'll continue with Hansa Molina, listeners. The anticommunistanalyst.com is his website. It is on my website, or our website.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadmiller.
Once again, happy to be here. Chris Gerner filling in for John Stadmiller. We've rekindled our friendship, long overdue, and so here I am. My guest, Hansa Molina, anticommunistanalyst.com. You're a defector from Czechoslovakia, Hans. I would hope that you can rehash that to the listeners. We have another listening audience, and many have not heard you before, Hans. So kind of give a recap of your past, if you don't mind.
Well, was born in communist Czechoslovakia, in a family that was, we were landowners, not a big landowners, but we had some land, and that was confiscated by the communists after the communist takeover in 1948. Basically, what happened was after that, you know, anybody that comes from that kind of background was blacklisted, and so I don't want to go into too many details about my growing up. I just want to say that I had to serve in a Czechoslovak communist air force for 2 years. I was drafted. I've seen things that I didn't like, especially the hatred towards the United States and the West and the freedom. Basically, it made me believe that communism is an evil thing, and I decided to defect, and I was able to defect in 1988 through Yugoslavia, got to Spain, and I was able to get a U.S. Immigration visa and got to the United States in the beginning of 1990, basically. And so I became U.S. citizen in 1995, probably so. And I'm trying to help America to realize that the changes in Eastern Europe, so-called collapse of communism, were biblical. They were a major fraud organized by Russia to put us to sleep and to prepare us basically to disarm us and to be so the Russians are able to attack us and to destroy our freedom, take over our country.
You are convinced that they're not going to take us over without firing a shot, in other words.
Absolutely. They have no choice because they studied American society very well, and they know that this country wouldn't stand for some kind of takeover or communism, and they can see the signs of it. Their best allies in the government, the Democrats, are not gaining any ground lately, and so and you can see the signs in Russia. They are basically building their military power, military structures. They align themselves with China, which the alliance was never interrupted. They only pretended the Sino-Soviet split was again set up for our consumption.
That's the split between communist China and the Soviet Union.
Exactly. Yeah, that was to further the communist cause when they started pretending to have some kind of disagreements, and that was all done on purpose. It was actually acknowledged by the KGB defector Anatoly Golitsyn, and he very well analyzed the whole situation in his first book, New Lies for Old. So that was done very well, and Golitsyn made sure that this is understood, and being done very well, very good job. And
now that was written in 1984, wasn't it?
That was published in 1984, but he worked on it since his defection, since 1961.
I see.
So that was his work, and of course I was getting at to the point earlier that we were talking about the London bombing,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to connect it to terrorism, that the Russians always train these people and always control these networks. And I have a statement of the former Romanian Communist Espionage Service chief, Mr. Ion Mihai Pesepa. He was in charge of the Libya at that time for the KGB. He said that in the early 1970s, the Kremlin established a socialist division of labor, unquote, quote unquote, for persuading the governments of Iraq and Libya to join the terrorist war against the United States. KGB chairman Yuri Andropov, who would later become the leader of the Soviet Union, told me that either of those two countries could inflict more damage on the Americans than could the Red Brigades, the Baader-Meinhof group in Germany, and all other terrorist organizations taken together. Governments of those Arab countries, Andropov explained, not only had inexhaustible financial resources, that means oil, but they also had huge intelligence services that were being run by, quote, our Razvedka advisors, that means the Soviet espionage, and could extend their tentacles to every corner of the earth. That means any operation that the Russians mount today could be disguised by Association of Iraq, formerly Iraq, of Saddam Iraq, Libya, of course, Syria, and any other friendly country to Russia that the Russians were able to infiltrate. This way, Russia could easily claim that they have nothing to do with it.
Listen, weren't most of Saddam Hussein's weapons, didn't most of his weapons come from Russia?
Of course. That's a very well-known fact. And as a matter of fact, this was published by the Washington Times by Bill Gertz, and it was published also leaked from the Pentagon that Russians were the ones who removed the WMDs from Iraq prior to our invasion.
Mm-hmm.
There were satellite pictures of Russian trucks moving, these military supplies and technology. They were supplying Saddam for long years. Czechoslovakia was doing the same. For example, and I remember very well when I was serving in Czechoslovak military that I was part of the division. We were training basically people from Libya and also from Angola, from Africa, to be able to fly the MiGs, the jets we had, the Russian MiGs. And so I've seen a person from officer pilot from Libya. They kept them apart from us, so we wouldn't even notice them, but sometimes you were able to see these people. Of course they set up terrorist training camps, as I said before, for these people. And one of the training camps, Mohammed Atta, the 9/11 hijacker, was trained in Zastavka near city of Brno. It was a very well-known training camp. Of course, that was in 1988, before the so-called collapse of communism. This was also, I was told this in front of a witness by a former Czech intelligence officer who's seen some information about this. So I think Czech Republic today is not really that much of a friend to us. Of course, there are many other revelations and many other information data that are available that needs to be checked out. But the problem is that we talked about this before, but when we look at back, what really happened in Eastern Europe, the collapse of communism was organized by Russia, by the KGB. And they even said so publicly in their statements. There was a statement of Viktor Oleksnitz, former KGB officer, now part of the Russian Duma. He said that he has information in 1991 interview for the Swedish TV. He claimed that he had information that Gorbachev and all these high-level communist officials were behind these changes in Eastern Europe, which is, of course, the Russians were testing the waters, so they publicly tried to test how the West is sleeping, basically. That's what it was. That's why they were able to release this kind of information, because they knew they got us fooled already. So there's nothing really that much of a surprise that they were saying this. The changes were organized by, namely the changes in Czechoslovakia, if I may, were organized by the KGB. With the help of the Czechoslovak intelligence, they set up a foundation for the so-called dissidents. They channeled the money from Moscow, from the KGB, through Stockholm, Sweden. The guy that was in charge, basically, of this foundation for these dissidents in Czechoslovakia, he was a son-in-law of Soviet academician Ernest Coleman. His name was František Janov. He was involved in Soviet nuclear research. That means in a GRU operation, in a Soviet military operation. He even admitted publicly in an article he wrote in Czech language that he had military training in Soviet Union when he was studying there. He was, of course, in Moscow during the Khrushchev era. So he was a very well-trained officer, and this guy was handling the money and the support for these so-called dissidents in Czechoslovakia. Of course, the communists from Czechoslovakia were allowing this kind of money, and we're talking about roughly $7 million over the years. That's a lot of money in their currency. They were allowing this money to go through.
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, impossible to happen. I mean, if these were dissidents, under normal circumstances, this money would be intercepted and basically stolen by the communists, and these dissidents would be locked up right away.
Okay.
That's totally impossible. So, you know, we're talking about regimes that are friendly to Russia and totally hostile to America, even though they pretend that they are our so-called allies.
Listeners, this is Hansa Molina. The anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. It's on our website, americanexpose.com. America spelled with a K, not a C, as a statement to where we are today. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller, the National Intel Report. Stay with us. We'll continue momentarily. And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller this week. Hansa Molina, the anticommunistanalyst.com is his website. Certainly, you sent to me, Hans, U.S. concerned about China military buildup, according to Condoleezza Rice. Said on Sunday, the U.S. government, not just the Pentagon, had concerns about China's military buildup, but that it did not necessarily constitute a threat. Hansa, what is your read on this?
Well, I strongly disagree. I think Condoleezza Rice should be fired. Why do I say that? Based on her analysis, we should be shaking hands with communists and allowing them to gain access to our country and do whatever they please. I mean, that's not the case we should support. I mean, if you want to deal with communists, they always will gain the upper ground on you. And that's bottom line. I lived there. I lived through it, and this is total, it's a disaster. It's a disaster policy to be engaged in any kind of diplomatic contacts or negotiations or any of that with any communist country. There's no negotiation with the devil. I mean, that's how it is. And if Condoleezza Rice is able to promote this kind of idea, she's dead wrong. And does great disservice to America. She should be fired immediately before something else, happens. I mean, she's of course, her past is not very, favorable to her. Also, I mean, I did research, about Condoleezza Rice, and I came to the conclusion that there's something seriously wrong with her past, and namely the fact that is missing in her official biography that she was studying in the Soviet Union in 1978. That was reported by London Times one time, so it was sort of leaked. But there's of course her connection to father of Madeleine Albright. His name was Joseph Korbel. Czechoslovak diplomat, high-level diplomat, Mr. Korbel was in the Czechoslovak exile government in 1943. He organized and set up the Czechoslovak agreement with Stalin for 20 years. Korbel was behind this agreement. Czechoslovakia back then was a democratic country, except it was occupied, but the government was still democratic. It was still freedom in Czechoslovakia before the war. And this guy was for making deals with Stalin, the communist murderer, criminal.
Mm.
After the war ended, Mr. Korbel came to America. He claims to as a refugee from communism. Except the problem is that he was always for the détente with the Soviet Union, for America's détente with the Soviet Union. During the 70s, that doesn't make sense again because, who is he? The Soviet Union already invaded his native Czechoslovakia in 1968. How come he was for the détente for America's détente with Soviet Union during the 70s, when his native country was invaded and occupied by the Russian communists? But again, it's, it shows the bad judgment of Mr. Corbell, and of course, again, we can speculate who he is, in fact. Condoleezza Rice, has these favorable, opinions about Russia that I was able to, she doesn't see, the problem that, with Russia in regards, that, Lenin is still, being displayed in Moscow, in the Red Square, that the Russian, the KGB, Lieutenant Colonel government, the KGB Lieutenant Colonel Putin government, is promoting, the old insignia, the communist insignia, that the country is basically spending a lot of money on building nuclear bunkers, the size, which, is just about the Yamantau Mountain, for example, in the Urals, the nuclear bunker is just about the size of Washington, D.C. It costs over $6 billion. Russians have 200 of them around the country. It's been reported. It was made matter of the congressional inquiry. It was reported by WorldNet Daily and various other sources, resources, and, there are satellite pictures available. Bill Gertz reported it, in Washington Times. We are dealing with Russia like they were our best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In the meantime, they're supplying weapons to terrorists.
Well, and that's the thing that we're not hearing about. We're not getting any info about that. And terrorism designed from the Soviet Union, is that your thought pattern?
Well, that was designed and it's still controlled by Russia. I mean, for example, there were, like, the Russians never really, never really let these old officers go, these long-term KGB and GRU officers, and they were the ones in charge, namely the GRU were in charge of the terrorist operations. So, these people have still the spies and the military espionage people.
We'll be right back, Hans. Keep your thoughts in place. We'll be right back with Hans and Molina. Anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. Partner to AmericanExpose.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller this week. And we continue to do the best we can to educate you and encourage you to do your own educating. And never in history has there been a better time to educate yourself with the website and the people involved in developing them as a positive direction, in my opinion. Hansa, we were talking about Condoleezza Rice. Does she think this country will be attacked? Or does she think that she will be safe in a bunker somewhere when this country's attacked?
I don't think she does. She's not warning the American people about the Russian military buildup. That's one thing. And, of course, the ties of Russia to these terrorist networks. Because, you know, the analysis of how these networks get their intelligence, how they operate, there's, of course, the information that the second-in-command of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, this was published by several newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal. He one time disappeared in Russia, and then they let him go. He was there for a year. And, of course, he did the banking of Al-Qaeda through China. And the Al-Qaeda had one time a training camp in Bulgaria, which is one of the, quote, former, unquote, Soviet satellites. So, we don't hear about this from Condoleezza Rice. Because then we can state what we know about the Russian military buildup. I'm looking at the article published by WorldNet Daily in 2000, I believe, or 2001. June 6, 2000. The article title is "Inside Russia's Magic Mountain: Secret Nuclear Project of Russia." Let me quote real quick. In 1998, in a rare public comment, then commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, General Eugene Habinger, called Yamantau a very large complex. We estimate that it has millions of square feet available for underground facilities. We don't have a clue as to what they are doing there. The Russians are not allowing any inspectors to check it out. Estimated about the size of Washington, D.C., some 400 square miles. Cost Russian government more than $6 billion. It can house 60,000 people. The complex has special air filtration system designed to withstand nuclear, chemical, or biological attack. It has enough food and water on the site, so the underground population can live there for months. Basically, the complex is a production site for we don't know what, but the Russians are building nuclear weapons, and they admitted that. Nowadays, there's another complex near Moscow called Voronovo that has a special underground tunnel connected all the way to the Kremlin. These complexes are built so they can withstand and sustain a nuclear attack. So they are really 1,000 feet deep, and we don't have anything to hit them. In case of nuclear war between Russia and the United States. Now, when we look at Russia aligning herself with China, and of course China is receiving Russian weapons and state-of-the-art military system, including the submarines, advanced submarines, and the destroyers and stuff like that. We can seriously look at what Condoleezza Rice is doing here.
Well, when they're building up militarily like they are, there's only one enemy that they're going after.
Absolutely, we are the enemy. And these are, like I said before, these are all quote former unquote communists. These are people that were there. They admitting. I have an article that was published in Czechoslovakia in 1993, with the title KGB Finally Talks. The director of the FSB, which is formerly KGB service at the time, Andrei Chernenko, acknowledges that the KGB was behind all these anti-communist revolutions in Eastern Europe. The article stated that from the 50,000 high-level KGB officers after the perestroika, only 56 were let go. Russian military intelligence, espionage, and intelligence services, GRU, is without any changes and involved in the same type of operations. And this was acknowledged by Soviet defectors, namely by Stanislav Lunev, defector from the GRU. The Russian intelligence.
Maybe the resident communist for this network, John in Ohio, apparently. Maybe John in Ohio might want to call in here and confront Hans with his statement. He certainly was a great thinker that Fidel Castro was a great man. This is John in Ohio. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Fidel Castro was part of the Russian hand. I mean, we had nuclear weapons in Russia and Cuba one time. The Russians basically infiltrated, took over the DGI, Cuban intelligence, so it's all Russian operation now. Castro was involved in narco trafficking. That was very much a known fact and supported by various statements of defectors. Castro was involved in biological chemical warfare buildup and research. Russians are still involved in Cuba.
Wasn't Castro's military involved in Angola and other parts of Africa at one time?
Absolutely. So was Czechoslovak military also was involved in Angola. as far as the support and logistic support, because Tubal couldn't really handle it. It was too big a deal for Cuba. Of course, the Russian and Czechoslovak weapons went to Angola and other countries, and for that matter, the friend of Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, is the president of Venezuela, for example. He's doing socialist, communist changes in that country. Basically, the government takeover of the industry and of the free enterprise. And don't forget that Venezuela is a major oil supplier to the United States. Of course, the...
Okay, now listen, here's the thought. Here we just had a G8 meeting where they're going to forgive the debt of the African nations, and yet the situation in Africa has been ongoing for many decades, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely. Beginning with South Africa, I was just looking at it yesterday. The Marco friend Muammar Gaddafi in Libya just promoted an idea that Africa should unite itself under one government. Basically, but Africa is mostly communist. It's you have the ANC, African National Congress, government in South Africa. The president of South Africa, Mbeki, studied in Patrice Lumumba University for Revolutionaries in Moscow during the Soviet era. Yeah, I mean, these cadres were prepared in advance to take over and to control the situation down there. There's so much bad stuff happening. For example, the Zimbabwe situation also is very critical. The white farmers are being murdered. There are atrocities happening in Africa. So, if communism was really dead, how come the communism is being spread like that? Throughout the world, we're talking about South America, we're talking about Africa, Asia, of course, there's China influence over there, North Korea, and of course Russia is clearly doing things that are not in parallel what they signed for, basically, the disarmament and all that, they are supporting these nations. These governments in these countries are clearly taking away the freedom of the people over there. So.
Now, Hansa, I see here a huge majority of Britons believes, and this comes from this comes from Jan Molina. He's all about AfricanCrisis.org, and he says a huge majority of Britons believes that pumping billions of pounds into Africa would be a waste of money. A verdict that is a major blow to Tony Blair's crusade to rescue the continent. As the Prime Minister prepares to fly to Washington on Monday to try to secure American support for proposals to tackle poverty in the Third World, a poll for the Daily Telegraph shows that 83% of people are not confident that money given by the West would be spent wisely. Now, this is very, very interesting as we're being maneuvered by the G8 to help these countries in Africa that basically have been communized for decades, haven't they?
And of course, it was part of the Soviet strategy to get the capitalist countries to support money and other help the countries of the Third World. Basically, I'm looking at the they use also religions to do that, but they were the strategy was to involve America into supporting the countries that are more poor and to promote the idea that they were supposed to promote the idea that the rich countries must help the poor countries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's a nice idea to be charitable, but then you have to have some kind of guarantees that you're supporting a good thing.
Isn't that communistic in nature to do that? Take from the rich, give to the poor.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. Because then they control the situation. I mean, they set up these revolutionary governments and take away all the property and control the society. Everybody's equal as far as the social level, but then you can't really say anything about it, and you have to live in fear for the rest of your life. I grew up in that. I lived in that for 22 years of my life, so and I can tell you it's not pretty. You know, we should oppose communism as much as we could. You know,
this is why I put you on, because you have experience that 99.9% of us have never had, and that is why I put you on. We have Kevin in Ohio. Kevin, welcome to the broadcast. You have a question for Hans?
Oh, hi, Chris.
Hi.
It's a blessing to hear you.
Hey, Kevin, we need to talk after the show. I have a situation with a friend of mine that's going to Russia for a wife.
Oh, really? Yeah, let's talk.
Okay. You got my number?
No, but you got mine? I don't have a pen right here.
Leave it with the board operator before you hang up.
You got it, Chris.
And I'll get the number from the board operator. I'll call you after the show.
You got it, Chris.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi there. I'd like to ask you a question about the situation with Belarus. And how is it that Lukashenko can hold on to power there and keep it a communist country with its supposed breakaway from Russia? There is still total control, total communism there.
Well, the situation as far as the breakup of the Soviet Union, it's again a fraud,
yeah,
organized by Russia. You know, Belarus is just another example, but you know, they kept the country basically tied up with quote former KGB officers unquote. You know, when we look at the older former Soviet republics, we can see that people in power are again tied up with Moscow. In the case of, I can illustrate this, in the case of Ukraine, basically the so-called Orange Revolution in Ukraine last year, you know, there was information that, for example, the president of Ukraine, Yushchenko, allegedly served as a KGB officer near the Turkish border in Soviet Union in 1975.
Yeah.
You know, and his... you know, the government of Ukraine, there are people that served either in the as communist cadres for Moscow or worked for the KGB.
I know that they run that in Belarus still. When you go to the LVR office to sign in and stuff, it's a KGB office. They control where you go. They control everything you do there.
I thought the KGB disappeared.
I'm sure that they didn't.
Uh-huh.
They sure control me when I go to Belarus, and it's in and out on schedule, and they want to know what bucks are in my pockets, in and out.
Is that right?
Everything's controlled. Sign in, get your little papers, and this gentleman knows all this stuff.
Well, it's not surprising to me at all. I was under surveillance in my former country, in Czechoslovakia, and, you know, they can, you know, these people threatened me with my life and all that because of what I publish, and you know, they control the phone conversations, they disrupt the email. You know, it's pretty much nothing new to me.
They still even broadcast that they are a communist country. They're like one of five left in the world supposedly recognized.
Well, what about the countries that aren't supposedly communist?
That's what he would know.
Well,
yeah.
Same thing. I mean, Eastern Europe, you know, you're talking about let's say, for example, Poland. I mean, the Solidarity. There was information that Lech Walesa, the leader of Solidarity, was in fact serving a officer of the Polish secret police. His code name was Bolek.
Oh,
you know, Václav Havel in Czechoslovakia, the so-called dissident, his family ties go all the way back to the Nazi regime. His father and uncle were both elite agents of Gestapo during the World War II. And of course, nothing happened to him after the World War II because the Russians got all the files of Gestapo in Prague, because Russians were the first one to get there. And of course, then you hear stuff like that the uncle of Václav Havel was allowed by the communists, by the Stalinist regime, to leave Czechoslovakia in a false name in 1952 for West Germany. And he opened a restaurant in Munich, and it was very effective in the exile Czechoslovak circles over there. And there's information that Havel was also cooperating with the STB, Czechoslovak espionage, and secret police.
Kevin, do you have more?
No, but I think this gentleman should keep on what he's doing. He's doing very good.
Please leave your number with the board operator, Kevin.
Yeah, if he catches me.
Okay, leave the number there. Stay online, Kevin. We'll be right back to wrap it up with Hansa. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. This is Chris Gruner filling in for John Stadtmiller this week, and happy to do so. Hansa, would you call me after the show, please?
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let's take John in Michigan. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, when the G8 forgave Africa its money that they owed, did they take over the natural resources of Africa?
Well,
usually that's what's been happening. They'll forgive the debt, but they'll take something in return.
Well, I'm not sure about taking over natural resources, but I know about the Russians' involvement in South Africa, where they tried to acquire the strategic platinum mines of South Africa, which South Africa is one of the three countries that have platinum, which is a strategic metal used in high-tech weapons. Russians were also able to acquire, Russian company acquired the only platinum mine in the United States, the
right.
Stillwater platinum mine in Montana. That was reported. Of course, we don't hear that from the National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice, or now the Secretary of State. So I know Russian involvement was there, and of course China is very much involved in acquiring some companies down in South Africa and Zimbabwe. It's not, what they try to get, lay their hands on, it's what strategic implication such operations have. And it's usually the military implication, because once they take away the enemy's ability to produce more weapons during the war, then they have the upper hand during the war.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it, John. We're about out of time here, Hans, and we're going to talk about when you call me after the show, we'll talk about where we're going to go from here, because your information, your experience, your knowledge needs to be spread far and wide, because you're giving the perspective that we're not hearing from many other people, because you have the experience, you have the concern about your former country, Czechoslovakia, which you never would have left had it not been communized, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not much of a traveler, but I had enough, especially what I went through during the military, and as far as my family and all the.
My point is Czechoslovakia, had it not been taken over by communist Soviet Russia, you'd probably still be there today if it was a free country, wouldn't you?
If it was a free country, yes, absolutely. But that, that ended in 1948, basically.
Now, isn't that the reason why, as we're running out of time, isn't that the reason why so many people have migrated to America from other countries like Korea, Vietnam, Bosnia, Kosovo? People are migrating to this country because of what's happened to their country?
Now, that's part of the reason, but then, you want to live free. You want to have the freedom, which we have here. This is God-given right to live free, and it's time to protect it. I mean, seriously, we'll start doing so before we end up in serious disaster.
Hans, I appreciate you being with me. I'll talk to you in a few moments. Listeners, I appreciate
you. Thank you very much, Chris.
My privilege, and we'll continue with this tomorrow on the Intel Report. I'm Chris Gruner, filling in for John Stadtmiller today. and go to the website, AmericanExpose.com, understand the big picture in place, and good night to all of you. Pretty fair and cool and more.